that?
No. That's the leave of the door.
We're here for the Geogga Metropolitan Housing Authority, October 21st, 2014, board meeting at Murray Manor, and it's 4 p.m. We will call the meeting to order. Full audio recording of the proceedings conducted at this regular meeting is contained on MP3 file, September 2014 board meeting. Okay, meeting called to order. Roll call, Mr. Payne.
Here.
Mr. Kitchen.
Here.
Ms. Weiss.
Here.
And Mr. Markley is absent. Okay, discussion and approval of the minutes, the regular meeting of September 16th, 2014. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Any discussion? No? Okay, all in favor? Oh, do I have a second?
Second.
Jim, you're slipping.
I have to abstain, I wasn't here.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, all in favor?
Here.
Aye.
Opposed, same side. Okay. Receipt of financial statements. Everybody received their September 2014 reports?
Yes.
Okay, then?
Okay, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. Public housing, we're at 92.37% of our projected. This gives us at the end of September a surplus of $386,570.83. In Section 8, we are at 75.04% of our projected income and 70.24% of our budgeted expenses, which gives us at the end of September a surplus of $46,269.52. So we're doing pretty good. So did you have any questions?
No.
Well, in order to make motion to approve.
To accept.
Accept.
To receive, I should say. Motion to receive the public housing Section 8 and Section 3 2014 financial reports.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Report of Director of Operations.
Did everybody receive theirs by email?
Okay.
Were there any questions or?
No, no.
Okay. There were a couple things that I had. Did you want to? Couple things that I wanted to add. Josie's been working, as I had mentioned, about some of the couple brochures for the self-sufficiency program, so I brought them if you wanted to take a look and see what she's offering. One of them is SMART goals. It's helpful hints on setting your FSS goals, and it's just a nice little breakdown, like with your goals to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and targeted. And then she also has 10 tips for finding employment. There are things that we can use throughout the agency, but it's also a nice tie-in to help get more recruits for the self-sufficiency program. So I've got a couple of those. And then I also, because of the graduation ceremony that we had in September, which went really well, we didn't have a lot of folks in attendance, but the graduates were really appreciative. We were able to get a proclamation from David Joyce's office to present to each one of the graduates, and so that meant a lot to them, and they had cake and some of that. So it was just nice to be able to recognize and think about some of the different things that they've overcome. But because we had some of the information together for that, I took some time today to put together a graph. And Jim, I'm sorry, I didn't get it emailed out to you, but I will get that emailed for you. It's just a summary of everybody that's come through the program. We've had 131 participants so far. 56 are currently active. But of the 75 total participants that have left the program, 30 went to private rentals or home ownership for a total of 38.67% off assisted housing. We've had 21 graduates. The increase in earnings that we're seeing and the reduction in welfare assistance is just really, really remarkable. For all of the participants, the average earnings gain has been 48.99% with a cash welfare assistance reduction of just just over 5%. But for our 21 graduates, which we've had 3 go on to private rentals and 7 purchase homes for 48% office-assisted housing, they've seen an average increase in their earnings of almost 266% and a reduction in cash welfare assistance of 61.3%. So whether it's financial or just in their quality of life, we just keep seeing a lot of things to support that the self-sufficiency program is really a worthwhile endeavor. So we're just hoping this would kind of help answer some of the questions around the program.
Is this from the beginning of the program or from January 1st?
It's from the beginning of the program.
Which was?
Let's see, 5 years for public housing. So 2000, because this was our first group that had actually completed the 5-year term, so.
I just want to make a quick note that Mr. Markley arrived at 4:06. Go ahead.
It'd be interesting to see how these relate to the people that aren't involved, how they compare, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just looking at the bunch that we had graduate and knowing, you know, we've had victims of domestic violence, people dealing with physical and emotional disabilities, and seeing them get to that point where we were talking earlier that mentoring seems to be a really big component of the program, and having somebody on their side that can kind of say, this is the next step for you, and yes, you can do it, and here's how you navigate. It's like once they get that direction, they're running with it. So I talked with Sarah and Josie this afternoon, and they are actually going to approach our self-sufficiency graduates to see if we can recruit any of them to be mentors for the new folks that are coming through the program. So that's all.
Are there more people from public housing or more people from Section 8?
There's more people from public housing for two reasons. The number of folks that we have in that program is larger anyway. And then we typically have fewer elderly and disabled, that because it is a work component to it,
it
seems to draw a little bit more that way. But since the grant's been combined, they have to have 75 between the two, and again, the majority of those will still come from public housing. So.
Okay. Thank you. Any commissioners have anything to report?
No.
Report to council.
It's pretty limited. There's been a little bit of eviction-related activity, but not much. And I did some bid review that we'll talk some more about in the course of this meeting with Mel, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. Court of Director, old business. We were going to discuss the change of the time for the regular meetings for the winter months, so I thought I would put it just in here just to have it official. So, Janet, you propose like 3 o'clock from now on?
That would look great. We would also get, you know, employees who have to be here.
Yes, we could actually have, you know, a different employee from report to you each time. Is that good with you?
I'll only be an hour and 5 minutes late then.
That should be fine.
Yeah, that should be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought
it's okay with me.
Okay. We will do that.
What date? That's the 18th.
November 18th. All right. Okay, the 5-year action plan and the 5-year PHA plan were both submitted. You will receive the ACOG and the admin policies. Dawn is going back through and doing renumbering of the pages because when we scanned it, it just made everything different. So as soon as that is done, then we'll go ahead and get you copies of it.
And we'll have a new update coming soon.
1 minute. No, we're short of board member.
Yes.
Have you heard of any activity?
They advertised it in the paper for, you know, volunteers. Evidently nobody has. I think a couple people here mentioned that they're trying to think of somebody to, you know, ask to do so. I know Todd, you said you were trying to think of somebody, and Dawn approached two people, I believe.
I know, I was appointed by the judge. Does he have anybody he knows? We found out any people who appointed to.
I believe you were recommended to him, wasn't he?
I don't remember.
No? Oh, I thought you did.
One of my enemies.
He was hand-selected.
Well, we can sure inquire.
Okay.
All right. I'll get in touch with them up there again and see, you know.
I'm just thinking of travel and things that we could be caught short.
It's supposed to be a five-member board.
Exactly.
It's county, correct?
Yes. Okay, we'll work harder on that part. Under new business, we received the grant or the letter awarding the 2014 Family Self-Sufficiency Program Grant. It's for a total amount of $121,631. And keep in mind, this is both program combined. They used to be separate. One used to be 63, and the other one was like 59. So it's just those two combined. What we need now, because the agreement has to be signed within 72 hours of it being sent to us, it's going to be an expedited thing, that HUD suggested we went ahead and did everything we had to do beforehand. So what we need is a resolution needed from the board members to accept the 2014 FSS grant in the amount of $121,631 for both public housing and housing choice voucher coordinators in the amount of and to authorize the executive director to sign the grant agreement, the HUD 1044, and any other required documents deemed necessary for the execution.
Moved.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Payne?
Yes.
Mr. Kitchen?
Yes.
Ms. Weiss?
Yes.
And Mr. Markley?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay. The bid opening for the final floor was held on September 26th. Mel's going to go over the bids with you and explain what I'll need to be done here.
Okay. Well, before, before I go over the bids and pass out my bid tabulation, I think it's important to discuss a little bit, inform the board about what happened at the pre-bid meeting. The pre-bid meeting was held September 10th. It was apparent, very apparent, that the estimated cost for the project, $86,300, was severely understated. And also there wasn't enough time, 90 days, to complete the work. This was felt by the six firms that were in attendance at the meeting. We've worked with four of the six firms and had good results with all four. So they weren't really strangers of ours. But the action that the architect took with, you know, our approval was to issue three addendums. Addendum one would increase the time to submit the bids from September 19th to September 26th. Addendum two was to increase the time to complete the work. It was 90 days to 120 days. And addendum number three was a decreased the number of units to receive work in the base bid from 85, that's all of the units, to 50. And the balance of 35 units was split into five alternates. One of the alternates may have three, another alternate four, five, four, to make up the total of 85. The reason why we did that is because we had board permission to advertise this project at with an estimated cost of $86,300. And for us just to go ahead and make changes and add to that estimated cost without getting board permission, I believe that would not be proper. So It was decided, well, to, of course, you could have let it just bid out and rebid the whole thing. More money, more time. But to decrease the number of units, and then whatever we could afford, we'll pick up through the base bid, 50, and as many of the alternates as possible. So what happened, after the bids came in, we opened them, and I saw, I added up the base bids, and you'll see, it was felt, I felt that I could do a budget revision and increase the number of units that the board could elect to go ahead with as alternates. You could pick out a few more. So that's what I did. I did a budget revision. So I'm going to pass out the bid tabulation, and we'll review the bid amounts. And the defects. Okay, this is, of course, the bid tabulation for the vinyl floor replacements. We had three respondents. The lowest bid for the base bid and the alternates was from Alabassi Construction, Cleveland, Ohio. And their bid for the base bid was $73,438. Keeping in mind that our estimated cost was $86,300. And then alternate 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Jim, I'll just read these real quick. Alternate 1, $8,813. Alternate 2, $5,875. Alternate 3, $11,750. Alternate 4, $11,750. Alternate 5, $13,219. For a grand total, with the base bid, of $124,845. But they had two defects. They neglected to submit the affidavit form, and they also, statement of qualification form. There were three pages to it. One of the pages was missing. Okay. I have I gave them a call. I talked to Todd about this, and I gave him a call. I gave Alabassi a call, and I told him to submit those missing items, and the board will review everything at the meeting today. So they did. I do have the subsequent submittal from Alabassi. The other bidder, another bidder, was Continental Flooring out of Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona. We've worked with them before, and their base bid was $77,380, about $4,000 more than Alabassi on the base bid. And I'm not going to go through the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the alternates, but the total for Continental was $130,316 as compared to $124,845 for Alabassi. And then we had Peterson Construction, a local contractor. I talked with Mr. Peterson after the bids came in, and he had for the base bid $216,976.89. He said that he didn't feel that he could compete, but he still submitted a bid. He did do all the submittals, though. He did get everything right on the submittals. So we have, Continental Flooring did not submit the liability insurance, evidence of, and evidence of workers' comp. Sometimes on an out-of-state bidder, they'll cover the workers' comp as a liability insurance, part of the liability insurance policy. But they did not make that submittal. So the architect
made some comments. He wrote up the comments on Alabassi. Did the board get copies of this, what the architect did?
That's what I sent out. And I think Mr. Payne said he didn't get all the attachments.
Is that the specifications?
Okay, let me...
No, it was...
Let me just give this to you guys.
Last week.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it had all the information you thought that it was gonna have in it.
What it is, it's a...
No.
Get back into here where it says phone interviews.
Oh, go ahead and pass it.
And that were... Back in there where it says phone interviews.
That's it, it's the same thing.
They did, Alabassi did several jobs. They did, there's one listed there for CMHA. I'm trying to do this from memory. And another one... with the Metro Parks, okay? And those came out okay. I mean, they're, you know, comments were average. I'd say an average firm. But then with Lake Metro Housing, it was a little different. And there were problems with the rehab work that they were doing there on that project.
Have we ever had them do any work?
Yes, we did. Thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah, we had Alabassi here. They're good at bidding, real good. As we see here, and with the kitchen cabinets, they did the cabinets, and they did an excellent job on that. And they bid on a few other jobs, but didn't get them. But it turned out the cabinets were okay. I asked our guys what happened, any problems? No, they were installed okay. There was a callback because one of the base, the final base, was coming loose, and they had to come and redo it. But other than that, they came.
Ones here at Murray Manor? Or?
No, the ones at Strickland Arms. The family units. 30.
Lake's scope of work was so much larger than ours. It was a multi-million dollar project.
Right.
And it was renovation of River Isle complex up there in Willoughby. I think it was Willoughby, isn't it?
Yeah, I never drove by that, but it was a rehab.
It was rehabbed. It was a very bad area. So, I mean, it's a very big project that they were working on.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm. I think there was something like 40 units in it.
Well, if you look through the complaint, it looks like that was the very problem, the size of it, because they couldn't get a project manager who could hold it together because they went through so many of them. So I think, if you take a look at the scope of work, I think it's harder to put together a number of different facets than it might be just to do one.
Right.
Now, what happened that the original budget estimate was off? Was that a bad estimate from our guys? Was it from the architect?
That was a bad, I don't want to, I'm not without sin on that, but I did my budget in, and on occasion, I have to tweak mine a little bit once the bids come in and I see where we're at, or as soon as I get the estimated cost from the architect. That's the important one. That's the one we publish. That's the one that no bids can exceed that by 10%, or whatever, we bid is 11%, you're non-responsive. And one of the fellows at the pre-bid did bring that up, and I says, yeah, that's...
And what was the architect's estimate?
The architect's was $86,300.
And was that based on... cost per square foot of extra tower.
I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did, but...
when you come up with your estimate, do you do a cost
I made an error in mine. When the two estimates came in, mine was 98,000, whatever, and it was low. I was feeling a little uncomfortable with it. His came in at 86. I felt a little better until the pre-bid. And then I'm thinking, what happened here?
Well,
I could guess what happened, but I'm not going to do that.
Who identifies what happened? Because if your budget is off, you have to figure out
what
was it that was missed that was unrealistic.
I missed the labor. I pulled mine off the internet. I don't have a program. I don't have a schedule of values. I don't have that. I have some of it for construction work, some of my old stuff, Republic Steel, I got some of that, but the stuff that can, will not change.
Okay, so you're saying that you missed the labor part.
I missed the labor, plugged that in, and my revised cost would be somewhere around $150,000.
Okay, now the architects, what they do for a living, what was their failure here?
I asked him, I said, what happened? Well, they have a program, he told me. He said, it's possible that, it's possible that the size, the area, was too small times 85. And I'm thinking, I didn't say this, but I said, well, you could have told me you forgot to throw in the occupied unit factor. I mean, you know, joking, but he didn't give any more clarification than that.
The reason I ask is not to point blame, but to try and figure out if we have a professional architectural firm and we have someone that sees it better than you. I understand human error, but to be off by that much, that's a huge variance.
Well, I felt uncomfortable at mine, but I went over my numbers, but I didn't get into that particular website deeper where they did list the labor. And I thought, what in the world?
The reason I asked was to make sure that there's no miscommunication between any of the bids, even within the bid. I mean, if we're just looking at flooring, and I can't speak for Peterson, and I know they've done some work for us in the past, but their bid is way out of line with the other.
Well, he told me it was, and it would be.
It begins to make me wonder, well, what are they bidding on? Are they all bidding apples to apples, or is one apple to oranges? And it's just curious to me to have such a wide discrepancy here, in not only the bids, but then to have, obviously, a rather wide discrepancy on the other one. And I guess the question is just meant, if I really need to identify what it was, and the architect should identify it too, because if we have 85 units and they're basically boilerplate all the same, it doesn't seem to me it would have been that hard to do an accurate square footage of the material and labor, and then if there's...
Oh, incidentally, the square footage is 27,000 square feet. You've mentioned that before, and I didn't have it memorized, but that's basically what I came up with.
Which is interesting in a way, because if you say it's 27,000, that comes out to roughly $5 a square foot.
That's what
labor and material, which is... sounds a little heavy for the...
Well, it was, but we need a little bit more. On my budget, I usually like to have the budget at least 15% higher than what I think it's going
to be. You're saying these numbers come out to $5 a square foot.
Yeah, roughly. Right. That's math in my head. 27, first one I looked at was 130, so that's roughly...
You think that's heavy for taking out and putting in?
Maybe not, when you throw in.
You got to take out. Yeah, it's huge.
Because that is big. And obviously, it's consistent with the other bid. They're pretty close. But I was just trying to figure out, again.
Well, did you have a discussion with the bidders to say, just to make sure we're on the same page, like, hey, here's, you're taking it out, you're getting rid of it, you're putting it back in?
Oh, it's in the specs that they're going to remove.
It just kind of makes it hard to plan your budget and everything when things are that far off, right?
Well, it's always a challenge. So that's, how does the board feel about the two contractors? Alabassi is, the omissions they took care of, and I told Todd I wasn't going to inject anything, but that's the first time anybody's ever forgot the affidavit form. And ironically, the affidavit form, in their case, in a page that they missed, I believe, had something to do with notaries. And there's something there that got screwed up on their part.
They since corrected that.
Yes, they did, yes.
And we've had good experience in the past with them.
And two out of their three references were okay.
So I have no problem with it. Any other comments?
Any other questions or comments?
So the alternates one through five then are the balance of the units? So that way you get.
Yes, the 35. So we can, so if we're going to be looking at some board action, what we need is, I believe, is a motion first. Correct my wordage here if you want. To accept Alabassi Construction's correction of its two bid defects by the subsequent submittal of completed page 88, the affidavit, and completed page 99 of the statement of bidder's qualifications.
Okay. I was just going to say, before we go there, I wanted just a couple of other questions then. If the difference is $38,500 plus or minus from the original budget, how do you handle that in your capital plan? You've got to.
Oh, you mean for the base bid now?
If we've got a budget of $86,000, but now we've jumped up to $124,000.
If we have change orders, that comes into it.
No. I'm just saying, just for this
nothing.
Contract. How are you going to deal with?
When we do a report, there is money now to cover this project up to $160,000. I wasn't sure, so I have $160,000 that we can plug in here, base bid or alternate. It doesn't make a difference.
By doing that, what are we not doing as a result of?
We are not obligating all of the $160,000. As soon as we would sign a contract, we get to the resolution and all that. Let's say Alabassi, we will obligate $124,845. Boom. The balance, subtract that from 160, that is unobligated. We're going to need some money for change orders.
Where did you come up? I think what he's saying, asking, where'd you come up with from?
Where'd you find
with
the
extra money?
What project was Peter?
Okay, what I looked at for 2014. We had air conditionings for Harris House, $16,000. I'm doing this from memory. And we had refrigerators, Housing Authority wide, for about 40-some thousand. And I believe that was it. Added to the 98 that we already had. So 1, 2, and 3 should somehow come up to 160. Mm-hmm. I don't trust my memory.
So now we can't. So we won't be able. So you're saying now we won't be able to do the refrigerators and the AC?
No, not at this time.
That would probably go on the next capital plan.
If you did all this, if you did the entire scope of work, including addendums.
I guess that's part of what I'm running through my head right now. Is what if we were to just accept the 50 units, whatever those are, prioritize those 50. That fits within the budget, and allow yourself the ability to do your air conditioning and your.
We've already made the decision to opt out of that on the budget.
Opt out of
doing the air conditioning and the refrigerators. The budget was changed. Now, I don't know if they could change it back. I don't think so. Not until we.
Who's they?
HUD. HUD. They'll look at the 5-year plan. The new one we submitted, I don't believe there's any refrigerators or air conditioning.
When the new one was submitted, was this number already known and you had already made those adjustments?
It was within hours, so I can't answer that. My concern was to get this project done. It's always been that way. And then you work out what needs to be worked out from the balance.
I guess the question is, Mel, if you budget things for air conditioning, refrigerators. Now, just knowing air conditioners, refrigerators, especially if they're approaching the end of their useful life, then those costs will be incurred at some point in time, correct?
Yes.
But if I understood you correctly, and HUD kind of locks you in and you opted out of that, then as these fail and need to be replaced, where does that money come from?
To replace them?
Yes.
If there's any other extra, well, we can't. It would come from operations, Dan's budget.
Do you have the freedom within your capital improvement budget to prioritize
as, I mean, I know you're projecting 5 years down the road, as we did, but even 1 year down the road, if certain unanticipated improvements.
If we don't do the other, if we don't do the other addendums, can you use the money for refrigerators?
No.
What can we do with it? Nothing?
Took it completely off in order to.
Thing is.
Do this.
Why would you want to do that? That's what's going through my head.
Do you want me to go run and get the budget revision?
I think I'm missing a piece here somehow. I'm missing a piece. I guess what I'm thinking, what I'm hearing is we'd set aside $86,000 in a budget out of 160.
We've set aside 98. 98 was my number. $98,000, yes.
For this project.
Yes, so when I saw the 86, I felt a little comfortable, and well, maybe you were wrong, you know.
When you had that 98 and you put that in your budget, did you also have money in that budget for the air conditioners and the refrigerators?
My guess, probably, because it's a 5-year plan, yeah.
Okay. At what point did those two items, AC and refrigerators, come out of the budget?
Just as soon as we got the bid opening was September 26th, okay?
So it would
have been the following Tuesday.
And so an adjustment was made at that point to that budget and sent to HUD to reflect
right
that you were no longer going to pursue AC and refrigerators. And you
take that money, right.
You were going to pursue this.
I think I used the word postpone.
Okay.
Because I wasn't 100% sure, but I believe in thinking about it, I think you're going to have to go through the amendment to the 5-year plan or whatever it is next year and plug it back in.
The difference between this 124, any change orders, and the 160 that you have right now, where does that money go at the end of the day?
If we don't use it,
yes.
That could be, I would hopefully put it in operations. That's another line item, 1406.
So you can move that. Money doesn't go poof. It gets
no, moved. No, we don't give it back. Oh, no, no.
It can't be used for air conditioners or refrigerators.
If you put it into operations, you can use it as you need it.
If something goes bad, it goes, okay.
We're getting into the fine points now, but I would say now, once the money goes into operations, I'm not, that clear on it. As far as writing it off, as far as tagging it, do we tag it?
Allocate it.
You draw it down, and then what happens? You draw it.
When we draw it, it's obligated.
It's obligated.
Yeah, we keep track of
it. Is it labeled? Does it have a little tag on it or something, or does it just go in our operating fund?
We keep track of the expenses.
Okay.
We keep track of that income and operations and in an expense account to show each item that we've spent for.
But our difficulty becomes we don't get to bid as a capital project.
Right.
Which will have to be adjusted next year in an amendment to that capital plan, it sounds like, in order to cover
the air conditioning.
All this is a lot better than not doing a complete project.
Having to touch it again.
Mm-hmm. And we've done that, like driveways at Scranton Woods, but.
I don't like having to break up a project into two pieces either, because you're mobilized, you're set to do this, and then I guess we'll address that, the other aspect of it, which was the architect's issue, because I saw that there's an amendment on the agenda that we're going to be addressing an architect's scope of work. So I guess we'll be able to address that when
we
that time comes. No, that'll be much easier for me now. Okay, so I guess you were ready to make a motion.
We're going to...
You need a resolution?
We need to go with the motion. The motion that I read to accept the Alabaster's construction... Corrections to two of its bid defects by the subsequent submittal of completed page 88 and the affidavit and the completed page 99 of the statement of bidder's qualifications.
So moved.
To accept it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Good. Thank you. That was Oh, then we need a resolution.
He's gonna say we need another.
Not only that makes them an eligible bidder now.
Right. Okay, is there any, if we're in agreement, any conversation on the resolution or to award it to Alabassee?
I'm good.
Then a resolution to award the contract for the vinyl floor covering replacement at Scranton Woods and Cloverdale Estates 1 to Alabassee Construction for the total cost of $124,845 for the base bid and each of 5 alternates. Does that sound right?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Payne?
Yes.
Ms. Wies?
Yes.
Mr. Kitchen?
Yes.
Mr. Markley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved.
You moved, and then?
Jen, second.
Okay. And did you call, roll call?
I did, yes. I did.
It was a totally different issue.
I know, yeah, I know.
Okay, let's proceed to the A&E contract. This is the third phase of our original,
Do you wanna do this one?
Original contract, no.
Okay.
The pleasure is all yours.
Thank you. I just have to be careful I don't editorialize too much. I just don't wanna. Okay, we need to consider an award of contract for the third and final phase of A&E contracts from the July 10th, 2013 RFQ, that's Request for Qualification for A&E Services. So this goes back to then, and we decided at that time we had 3 major projects, and we would go and finalize a contract for each one after getting their quotes, initial quotes. And as the budget came in, I think we had enough budget money to start one, and then phase 2 and phase 3, we had to wait till the budgets came in from HUD. Phase 1 was the A&E contract for the Strickland Arms exterior renovations. That we awarded to TC Architects. TC Architects, incidentally, is the architectural firm that we're talking about. November 19th, 2013, and that was for $10,741. Phase 2, the A&E services for the Scranton Woods and Cloverdale Estates vinyl floor covering. We awarded that on March 19th, 2014. And the cost or the fee was $10,469. And that's the project that we just awarded the contract to. And phase 3 is what we're considering now. That's A&E contract for Strickland Arms, Scranton Woods, Cloverdale Estates 1 and 2, interior door replacement. And their fee for that is $16,688. And we're here to consider an award of contract for that.
Why?
Question mark?
I was going to say, since they were over by 45% on this last one, I'm willing to take their contract with a 45% deduction of their fees.
Well, it's interior doors.
Yeah, why would that be so expensive? That would be less complicated to me than floor.
Their fees, let me see, I think we can...
That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, but, okay.
I mean, I've had some bad, I had a client who had a bad interior door replacement, but it was downtown in Cleveland, one of their projects, a CMHA project where it had been, the door frames had been bastardized over decades. So everything was different, it was measuring at different levels of everything. But do we have that situation here?
We have some settling units that at Cloverdale. If I was to do one project, it would be Cloverdale. And I think the park, too. I think it's the oldest, and it's been a while since I've been in there. But because we had the settling units, and I think we could have some issues there that's maybe more than just replacing a door.
Well, Well, you're saying replacing doors, we're talking door blank only, we're not talking pre-hung.
We're talking both, and this is where the architect had better, I say that strongly, had better come across with some decent information that he got off his butt and went out there and looked at something.
Maintenance thought that, you know, it would be the entire hung door that we would get for certain ones, but at Strickland Arms, do the door.
We had, at Strickland, we have the metal door frame, so they can route the hinges out and, you know, cut the thing for the lock set. But to answer your question, because I looked at, this is the fee thing that they submitted back when we asked for their proposal. This is the first project, and you can see the project manager, 40 hours, that's the big one. Project manager, 38 hours. On this one, 64. Do I believe it should be 64? Yeah, based on the situations that we could have there. So that's...
Where is this one for now?
All sites, all family sites.
And isn't...
How many units does that come up to?
What's
117?
Isn't it Cloverdale? Isn't that where we did the slab jacking?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
All kinds of things.
Not to all the units.
Not all of them.
It's roughly $10 a door is their architectural fee. Well, $10 per unit if it's 117 units. looks kind of reasonable, you know. What kind of doors are they specking?
What I was looking up for my...
$100 a unit.
Pardon me?
Masonite, the
hollow core. Hollow core, solid core?
Hollow.
You know...
You're probably right at the tile.
You put a hollow core door in and
it's disposable.
A lot of risk goes through.
It's not going to last. You put...
What's it going to be? Solid core?
Hollow.
Well, what's our maintenance history? That's the answer.
Yeah, what is the question there?
It's easy.
How long have they been in there now and what shape?
30 years.
They've been in 30 years?
30 years.
In their hollow core?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And of your best judgment?
I haven't been in
the exit doors aren't just...
We replace the exit doors in all sites, all family sites.
Well, even if it was solid, masonite, the wear and tear is probably going to be on the exterior finish. Mm-hmm. So
and the replacement cost of that.
You know, if you had a solid wood door,
well, they're pre-finished,
which would be more durable, but it'd be four times the cost probably, or five times the cost. Which, if I put it on a budget, so or I think about it. I don't have much choice.
Also, if that door needs to be replaced, it's a lot more expensive.
The solid.
Which, if, yes. But if most of this is coming through where, except for the area with steel jams, we're doing a complete door unit, that makes some sense because that takes all the settlement pretty much out of the equation. You know, might do a little trimming of the door a bit if the opening's not polite or gears on it.
Right now, you're addressing the cost of the service provided.
I'd like to
refresh my memory on the selection of the architect. How was that? That was an RFQ.
It's a request.
Process.
An RFQ, request for qualifications.
And that was done last year?
That was done. Yes.
Yes, March?
July 10th. That's when it was due, 2013.
And we had how many architects?
We had one, two, three or four firms here, I believe.
All qualified?
They, and we ended up with two, I think, actually submitting. The one did not. The one that had worked with us on another couple projects did not submit. The other two did. And of course, you take the one with the highest ranking points, and then you ask them to produce the fee schedule.
Right.
And they do that. And
On the door replacement, what was their estimate of that project cost?
They didn't yet. They
not
didn't.
This door, the the shed door, or the...
Oh, boy.
Shed
doors, yeah.
Can't...
I want to see if there's a track record here of estimating one number and then having it come in much higher.
I got to tell you, I've never seen one like that in the time I've been here.
Okay.
Not that far low. I mean, something went wrong. I don't know what it was, but
right.
I'll tell you.
Historically, it hasn't been that way.
My theory, but
I guess my confidence is shaken. Yes.
Well, on that point, yeah. I mean, mistakes can happen, but we've had them happen before. We've had them where an architect would come up to me and say, "Mel, you've got $98,000 on this, and I really think it's about $10,000 more." And he would ask me, "Where'd you get that number?" And I said, "Well, Dan replaced this item, the furnace is what it was, and I used that number." He said, "In all due respect to Dan," he says, "but you need a better quality furnace there. That was just a temporary replacement thing. You need and it would cost just a little bit
more." This was dialogue with who?
An architect.
A different one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of dialogue do you guys have now with TC?
No. I sent them 2 Dunning letters. I mean, I don't like to do that.
What's a Dunning letter?
A Dunning letter is a letter at...
shot across the bow.
Right.
Mel had a very good relationship with our former architects. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We
right,
had a very good relationship with our former architects.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is nice guy and all that, but he didn't come across with the information in time for me to get it to the board, to get an award of contract. And it would have been for the tile work. I wanted to get that done sooner than we did, and so that we didn't have the Christmas season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, because now the spec book specifically states no work during Thanksgiving week, Christmas, or I didn't want that, or that I didn't want to do, but we had to because he didn't get his stuff to me in time, but yet he got his request for payment in time. And I told him, I said, "We're holding it. We're holding it until you do the work." So, I mean, that's...
This project, interior door replacement, when is that slated for construction?
If we, it'll take me a month to get the paper signed and everything. So my think is no, probably December. But why start it if you're going to knock off for the holidays? See?
Right.
So it's probably the first of the year.
Do we have to obligate it before the first of the year?
No, it's obligated as soon as we sign the contract. And incidentally, we have to sign that contract, another date that I'm tossing around, 60 days from the bid opening.
Which contract?
The contract with for the tile with Alabassi.
Okay, but do we have to take action right now on the interior door replacement?
No. Just to, we can award the contract or consider awarding the contract to TC Architects.
Did they work off of a scope of work? Was their proposal based on a scope of work you provided? Or?
I provide project location, a definition, an easy, quick definition of the project, and the budget that we have to work with. So if we're considering anything today, it would be an award of contract to TC for that phase 3, which is interior door replacements.
But that part would be on the table until next month when we could ask them to explain the differences. Is that what you would like?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think I'm curious about a plan B.
Well, we don't have a... If we already... Do we even have a freedom at this point anymore? Don't we?
We'll never have more freedom. If somebody comes in with... If somebody comes in with a mistake like they made on the last one, and we wash... You know, we go past that one, when are we ever going to have a better reason to say something to him than now? I know. I've seen Mal in action. He does... Gets worked up once in a while.
Oh yeah,
but he doesn't. But I haven't heard him say that. The only other architect I saw really being upset with was a guy who screwed up, if I remember correctly, the paving project.
The paving, yeah.
So and that was a bad one. So
time, his timing was way off.
It's
I guess this question
I say
is,
get him in here.
Are our hands tied to this architect for this project?
No. I can't, I mean, if somebody doesn't do the work they're supposed to do, how can it, and I don't know, and again, let's get him in here and find out what the answer, him or her, let's get him in here and find out what the answer is, but what better time is there to do that than now? So why don't we ask him to come in? You know, I'm hearing that they, a late, you know, timely payment, late product is not an exciting statement, and hearing two Dunning letters going out from you is also not exciting.
Well, the fact that this was added late to the agenda.
But once I shook the tree, Mr. Payne, you were at that meeting.
For this one.
Remember we had with the two, those are the two architects from TC. And when I wanted to articulate what I needed from them, I got, it was 3 points. I got point one out and boom, point two and three was right there. He knew what I was going to say. And, you know, so once you do get some results.
They've offered to come but, here.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Yes. Is there a motion to table that request and ask them to appear?
So moved.
I have a question.
No.
Would
B.
If you postpone it till next month, November 18th, and if we then have to wait till December again, for that board meeting for any reason?
We're okay.
What I'm thinking is
until the first of the year.
Yeah, we don't need to, as far as getting this project going, the door project, we have plenty of time.
Oh.
Because 14, 15, and 16, we have till 2016 to obligate the money. So
okay.
If it comes down to getting another firm, well, we'll go out for qualifications again.
I brought it up to him about the doors when we were doing the bid opening. So I think that's what got this pushed up ahead.
I was also thinking, you know, time frame. And some people travel a lot.
No.
So would we have enough people here to, you know, board members?
Will you be here for the 18th?
Okay. I'll be here in November. I should be here for November.
I think it'd be important for this architect to understand that this board has some professionals on it that expect certain level of performance, and it's not just a Metro Housing.
Not as a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
I met him the one time. The two, and
you met both of them?
Yes, I met both of them. And my agenda was basically, I didn't like the fact that they gave us one choice without any options, and I kind of hit him hard about that. And the actual specifics and things that Mel needs, and I had another meeting I had to go to. So I kind of just unloaded on them. And they seemed like nice enough fellows, and they heard me. And then I noticed on the follow-up, they had some price options, which obviously were out of our budget. You know, I have a rule, when in doubt, find out. I think it's a good idea to have that meeting and readdress everything from their budgeting to their timeliness. I don't know that we all need to be here for that, though. I think you could do that. I don't know that.
Well, I think they've got answers. I think they've got. I think
he's got the
questions.
He's got questions.
Here,
right.
I can tell for certain he's got questions that need answered.
We'll bring him here.
All right.
Let's bring him here.
All right. Let's bring him here.
Okay.
So we need that motion. Do you want to word it? Or
I made a note to do it. Do we need just a motion?
No.
Well, first you need to finish a motion.
Oh,
table.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a motion to table awarding the A&E contract and to invite TC architects to the next meeting.
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Oh, motion passed. Okay, next, I know we discussed about not writing off uncollectible accounts. However, Sal, our fee accountant, says he's still writing them off. So we figured he would go ahead and ask for approval to write off for October. Did you send this to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I received it.
I sent it to Mr. Kitchen, but I couldn't.
Okay.
That's unusual.
The write-offs, or do you want to read them?
Yeah.
Just don't say the names of them.
We have one at Strickland Arms that was an eviction. It's for $1,895.52. And one here at Murray Manor for $233.39. For a total of $2,128.91.
And these are ones you've chased already.
Here's how it works.
No.
I oftentimes get judgments so that those can be sent for collection, but I don't do collections work on it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right, true.
And then the collection company that just reached a dead end.
One was an eviction and one was deceased, so we won't collect
sure.
the deceased. But
The 1895, that one, it took months and months to go through the eviction process. Is that how this number...
I wouldn't say it takes
no.
months to go through the process,
no.
but what happens is, so you, after you go through all your rights to hearing and that sort of
yeah.
stuff, and we get to court... Once I file the eviction, they have to have the hearing within 10 days. She usually gives them another 10 days. Sometimes we work out some other agreement. So it's, you know, say you're gone, evicted within a month, and then shortly after that, so that we have time to get into the unit, we'll present the damages. What my advice to them has always been that if we think there's going to be a substantial amount of damages or there's some risk of it, I leave the hearing on, we go forward with the hearing, they're almost always uncontested. We get a damages judgment, but at least we have the judgment. Because I always feel better if we're going to collect a substantial amount of money, I feel better shipping off a judgment than I do in just doing an account balance and sending it for collection, because there's no teeth to that.
Right.
And I believe this one was mostly damaged.
Yeah.
Well, I understand uncollectible, so you make the motion.
I need a resolution to allow the write-off public housing accounts receivables. Uncollectible accounts as of October 16, 2014, in the amount of $2,128.91.
So moved.
Second. I'm getting initials mixed up. Okay, Mr. Payne?
Yes.
Mr. Kitchen?
Yes.
Ms. Weiss?
Yes.
Mr. Markley?
Yes.
Okay. 100% inspections. I'm going to hand you, because this was a last-minute addition to the agenda also. I completely forgot about them, and I don't know how. These are just the scores of... Am I short? These are just the scores for each one. What we can do is go by and make you a quick chart for the next board meeting so you can see what... deficiencies we ran across. Strickland Arms, as you can see, is still above average with 80.70%. Let's see, Scranton Woods, they were 81.92%, which is still good, above average. Cloverdale 1 was at 92.89%, which was very good. Cloverdale 2 was 77.04%, which was a little bit above average, and Murray Manor was 83.37%. We're still good on that. Harris House was 72.58. I can quickly just give you an idea of... as you all know probably by now, you've been through enough of these reports. We get 10-point deduction because the sprinkler had a small amount of paint. It didn't cover any hole or anything. It was just a fleck of paint on the sprinkler head, which gave us a 10-point deduction. We had two of those.
You mean from 100 down to 90? Or 10 point on a different scale?
10
not
points
10%.
On
100. No.
No. 10 point deduction.
10%, yeah, 10 out of 100.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
So rather get 100%, if I paint, it's spot on a shower head and it drops you down to 90%.
Not a shower head, it's
a sprinkle box. Dan had put some tape around and he didn't feel that that was sufficient.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't here to hear all the comments, but that's what took that score down so low. I was trying to think of any other real high deductions, but. Let me see, there was, oh, here's one, 4.1 at Cloverdale Estates because there was vegetation rubbing up against a building.
I've heard not.
Okay. Yeah. That's what our maintenance has to deal with. And that this is why we go through this. We pay for this annually as a contract. But when REAC actually comes in, you know, or HUD comes in to do it, you know what they're gonna be looking for.
So these are the scores from our own inspection group.
Correct.
So these aren't the ones that HUD
no.
get, okay. So now we know
it's
we
like
can get that much
audit.
Better. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Preparatory audit.
And the last thing we have is maximum rents. We adopted it into our ACOP this past month. Maximum rent, they're based on 95th percentile of the total tenant payment for every resident in our complexes. This is because we cannot give financial assistance to anybody who is not a U.S. citizen or national, you know, of the United States. So we go through there and we have to send these rents that we will be using every year, anywhere. Dawn went ahead and did, I started it, couldn't get it finished. So Dawn went ahead and finished it for me. So our new maximum rents will be posted out in the lobby for public. One bedroom is $641, two bedrooms $754, a three bedroom is $943, and four bedroom is $1,056.
Is this at all based?
This is based on mixed families.
Are these rents at all based on going rents in the private sector?
Not these. These
so
are
this is,
an app,
the purpose
you know,
of this is strictly for
mixed families. If there's a non-citizen living, you know, in a family, with a family, we would charge them more because they're still not going to get the same subsidies. Yeah. As, you know,
okay.
A household that's completely.
Of course, yeah, no, it's complicated. Okay.
What isn't? Okay. We don't need any action on that. All right, hearing of the public.
Rex, do you have anything?
No.
Louise?
No.
Judy?
First of all, I wanted to let the board know that we lost a resident that has been here for a while, and she was very involved with the community, and that was Terry Dallas. And her calling hours tomorrow are at Russell Funeral Home from 1 to 4. And that's the only public one that they're going to have.
She was the chairman of our resident
mm-hmm.
advisory board.
Yeah, so she will be sadly missed by a lot of other residents.
Mm-hmm. Thank
so.
You for that.
And I had a couple other things. The doors that you're talking about replacing to be hollow doors, are those inside or an outside door?
Interior.
Interior, like a bedroom door or
right.
a bathroom door?
Right, bathroom door.
Okay. Are our outside doors to our apartments, are they hollow?
I don't think so.
I think
they're for
solid.
Fire.
They're probably required to be solid.
So they're solid?
That
I
would
don't
be my
think
guess.
This. I don't think they're solid.
One,
if they're,
on.
No, they're the only thing that makes them feel heavy is because they're spring loaded. If you release that spring, they're not very heavy.
Well, I mean the apartment door itself.
Right.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Okay. Because mine is not soundproof. at all. I can hear people talking in my hall. That's why I can even be in the bathroom and hear people talking. I can see light around my door at night when all my lights are out. Bottom of my door and on the side. Okay, that's all. I don't want to dwell on that. I just want.
Yeah, I remember discussing this before.
Somebody mentioned it before, yeah.
So.
And I cannot come up with a reason Dan was giving me. I don't know, but we'll check into it again and make sure we address it at the next meeting.
And then my other concern is there used to be two tenants on the board. And then one of them was taken off. The other one used to be Marilyn. Is that never going to be replaced?
She was appointed separately. She just happened to be a tenant. She wasn't in the tenant position.
The requirement is one.
Yeah, our requirement is to have one.
Just one. Then it's up to us to go to Jim and tell him if we have concerns or whatever. Because he's on the phone.
So we have concerns. You can talk to Jim in a friendly manner if you would like. You know, during the discussion. For problems, I would take it to the manager.
And who's that?
Sonia.
Oh, okay. No, I mean just in general. Oh,
well,
like
he wants to talk to you. He's sure.
Well, if you got problems, I mean, raise them to Sonia first, I would say, and then certainly raise them right now. You know, now is a perfect time too.
Well, that's,
don't feel like you're
and
limited.
And you know, I have the same thing. The parking permits. I think the parking's better in our parking lot, but I think every car needs to have a parking permit. If I have to, I will go out there and I will mark the cars that don't have parking permits.
Just key them.
Because, no, I don't.
I'll do it once.
But I really feel that.
Let's boot them.
Even my girlfriend that just moved in, I don't think she got one. And I think that should be.
It is part of the move-in process if they have a vehicle.
I think the big thing is just if they change vehicles, making sure that. But I think they make that part of the research process to ask.
She
needs
still
to check in with Sonia.
Okay, that still bothers me that the people that park here, that live here, do not have a parking permit. I think that should be the tenant's responsibility to get it, and then if they don't. It's the office.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. You guys do a good job. I just.
Thank you. Thank you. But there's always going to be problems. We're well aware of that. You
know? I know. Because I got one in my packet when I moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when it came off, I called and asked for another one.
All right. Is that it, then?
That's it.
All right.
See,
it
wasn't
you.
As long-winded
as you usually. No, it wasn't. Okay, I don't think anything for executive session is necessary. Any further business? Okay, the next board meeting will be November 18, 2014 at 3 o'clock. Okay. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
You can keep those. Yes. Oh, meeting is adjourned.